Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We decided to relocate Trey Wingo to the 5 o'clock hour here on a Wednesday. It's called Afternoon Drive. You put your best foot forward in Afternoon Drive, and ESPN's NFL Live host is always such a great guest. We wanted to have him right smack dab in the spotlight with such a big news day just in our rearview mirror. Thanks for joining me, Trey. You know, every now and then someone tweets something that I wish I tweeted, and I'll give credit here to a guy named George on Twitter who just said, if you think about it, Mark Davis's pretty woman not allowed to shop on Rodeo Drive. He needs to find his Richard Gere.
Yeah, okay. I'm good with that.
Trey Wingo here on 95.7 The Game. Let's just open up with the decision. What stuck out the most to you other than money talks?
Nothing, because money talks. You know, it's interesting. They'll say this and this, but behind the scenes, it's just business. And of all the three teams that had the idea of locating and relocating to L.A., there's only one guy that could say, hey, if the NFL asked me, do I want to write the relocation fee in a lump sum or do I want to spread it out over annuity for 10 years? He's the only guy that could say, I'll just write you a check. He wrote a check for $564 million because he could.
Yeah.
And that's Stan Kroenke, the owner of the Rams. He's worth $7.7 billion. That's just his personal wealth. Let's not forget, he married a Walton, a daughter of Sam Walton of Walmart. So his personal wealth and her wealth combined are insane. And you know, basically, he had enough money to do what he wanted. He's basically paying for that stadium in Inglewood out of his own pocket. He's doing it himself, and that's a huge deal. And then he retains a lot of the profits, and that left the Chargers and the Raiders spinning on what they wanted to do and what their options were.
The most powerful phrase in negotiations is, do you take cash?
Exactly.
We've got Trey Wingo on talking about this big day of news. Obviously, the Raiders are our focus, but to know what the Raiders are going to do next, we need to know what Dean Spanos and the Chargers are going to do next, and it really looks like he'd be crazy, even though he didn't get the situation he wanted, to back away from the treasure trove that is L.A. just because it's not perfect. Good is better than awful. It's still not as good as perfect. I think Spanos balks at any sort of sour grapes and ends up in Los Angeles. Do you?
Yeah, I think you're right. And I look, Dean Spanos, you know, there are some reports, and Jim Trotter was great on this for us, one of our insiders, that, you know, Dean felt like a lot of the owners, when they went to that secret ballot, sort of backstabbed him a little bit. And, you know, they were telling him one thing in person about the Carson plan and how that was all great. But when they went to a vote, they certainly went the other way. And remember, the committee, the NFL committee, I think, was 5-1 in favor of the Carson plan for the Rams, for the Chargers and the Raiders, and that didn't work out. So it's about Dean at this point swallowing his pride and realizing what the best deal is. And there are two options on the table for him to join Stan Kroenke at the Inglewood complex. One is to be a tenant, basically, and get a lease for a year, a dollar a year, and then, you know, just basically get less money because you're not an equity partner. So you don't pay as much up front, so you won't get as much, or become an equity partner with Stan Kroenke. And that means, yeah, you'd have to have some more costs involved, but obviously you get more on the back end in the terms of the profits from the entire complex. So Dean's got a couple of options to wait for, that he can deal with. And I think the idea of him, he hasn't even tried to negotiate with the city of San Diego for months. So it would be really weird for him to go back to the table there and say, yeah, I want to talk to you guys now. So I do think at the end of the day, Spanos goes, which quite frankly, I think is the best situation for you guys in the Bay Area when it comes to the Raiders.
Well, explain.
Well, I mean, I don't think that they're going to put three teams in that city. I don't think there is. So to me, if it looks like the Chargers are going to be there for sure, and we know the Rams are going to be there, suddenly the Raiders are probably not going to be on the Los Angeles radar. And now I think it behooves them and it behooves the city of Oakland to come up with the best possible plan they can find to get something done to keep the team in Oakland.
I thought it was a little disingenuous that the number, which to any of us is a lot of money, $100 million.
Yeah, that's not real. That's not, those are not real dollars.
No.
Okay? Let's be honest.
Right. I mean, the commissioner makes 44, for goodness sakes.
The Kroenke playground is what I like to call it at Inglewood, is $1.8 billion. Okay, so the $100 million, which sounds wonderful, that would just knock the Kroenke complex to $1.7 billion. So, I mean, it's basically going to be, what does Mark Davis have to put up and what is the city willing to put up? And I will say this. Look, the Rams were a great situation for St. Louis for 21 years. And for most of those years, there were really loyal fans that did a lot to keep them going. But I do believe the fan base in Oakland for the Raiders, it's great. It's wonderful. And it's one of the best fan bases in America. And I would really hate to see that city lose their team.
So would we, for sure. This is Trey Wingo from ESPN joining us on a Wednesday afternoon. And obviously, we got a little football to talk about here. One last note on relocation and the stadium. Do you think that Mark Davis just got the clear message that he cannot do this on his own? If the come to Jesus moment of this whole thing was finishing third and being let, he's not a bad guy.
No.
And he's a wealthy man, but he is an absolute NFL pauper in terms of ownership. I think the clear message is you need to bring in a real deep-pocketed investor here. Do you think he does it?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, we always talk about the 1% in this country. Well, it's the 1% of the 1% that are really the guys that run the table, and those are NFL owners. Those are the people we're talking about. And among that 1% of the 1%, there's the Stan Kroenkes of the world, who are the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. And then there's the Mark Davises of the world, who are doing really well, but they have nowhere near the money that Stan Kroenke has at his disposal. I think you're right. I think he needs, you know, what we call an investment term, a white knight or a savior, a guy that comes in as an investor that says, I'll take care of this for you because I believe in what you're doing. And that's a lot of those Silicon Valley jobs and Silicon Valley companies that are looking for that kind of investor, you know. And I think that's the best thing that Mark Davis can have at this point. Because in any way you slice it, Damon, he came in third in every possible scenario. I mean, the NFL said the Chargers have the first opportunity, and if they pass, then the Raiders have the opportunity. And the bylaws have changed since his father, Al, just said, screw the bylaws, I'm doing it anyway. You know, and then they tried to sue him and they couldn't stop him when he moved from Oakland to L.A. Those days are gone. Things are in a different place now. And I think that Mark and the Raiders organization needs to realize if we're going to do what we want to do, we're going to need some help along the way.
The 49ers can spin the fact that Hugh Jackson never got an offer from them, but I think it's false for them to present anything other than that he was their first choice. He's the first person that they talked with. When the Niners sit down with the coach, what do you think haunts them the most? The decision they made on Harbaugh, York's reputation, which is clearly connected to that, or just the current mess that you're asked to clean up the minute you hit the ground running here?
Well, obviously, it's not a great scenario with the personnel that's in place. But let's be honest. I'm stunned that Hugh Jackson chose the Cleveland Browns. Stunned. But there's only 32 of these jobs, and Hugh's been looking for a new job since he went 8-8 with the Raiders. And by the way, just put that in perspective. And we looked up this stat, which I thought was fascinating today, and I think your listeners will appreciate it. Since the merger, AFL-NFL 1970, there are only three Raiders head coaches that never had a losing season: John Madden, John Gruden, and Hugh Jackson. Why they let him go, I have no idea. Granted, it was just one season, but 8-8 looks pretty good for a Raider fan right now, doesn't it?
We haven't seen that high of a mountain peak since.
Yeah, so, I mean, Hugh was, you know, I was really stunned. In fact, I asked Adam this. I said, Adam Schefter on our show, I said, Adam, I understand why the Browns zeroed in on Hugh Jackson. Why did Hugh Jackson zero in on the Browns? And he said, you know, over the last couple of years, coaching candidates take interviews and they think they're going to get a bunch of offers and suddenly everybody else gets hired. That's what happened to Adam Gase last year, which is why he took the Dolphins job. Doug Marrone, remember, walked away from a job and got a $4 million payout in Buffalo because he thought he was going to get another one. Instead, he ends up being the offensive line coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. As bad as any situation may seem, there are only 32 of those jobs. And if you have an opportunity to take one, you grab it. And quite frankly, I think that's the best thing you can say about the Niners situation. they only got 32 of these, and we're giving you one of them, and they're going to be a lot of interest in it because of that.
We got a lot of exciting playoff games in our rearview mirror. Exciting finishes, maybe more than entire thoughts throughout an
right.
NFL day. Seattle. I tell you, the only thing scarier than a cornered team is a team that just got resurrected from the dead. And that's the way Pete Carroll and the Seahawks have to be looking at this second life that Blair Walsh's field goal miss gave them. Do you think that that propels Seattle deep into this conversation now? Or do you still like Arizona?
I really believe that as great as that win was for Seattle, a game like that takes so much out of you. It takes so much out of you. And we actually had Cliff Averill on the show today. And I said, Cliff, when did you thaw out from that game? He said, I'm still wearing a beanie today because it just started happening. I mean, it's Wednesday. And he said, today was the first day I started feeling normal after that game. There's a reason why, Damon, in the current playoff format since 1990, the divisional round is by far the best home field advantage of any of the rounds in the postseason. Because you have that team that's played that extra game and you've been at home rested. Now, I'm not saying it's the know-all, end-all, but I think it bears watching. Look, Seattle's great. Don't get me wrong. There's a reason they finished with a scoring champion defense four straight years. First time that's happened in the Super Bowl era. But you play a game like that in the conditions they play, and that was a 1 o'clock game for a West Coast team. Then they fly back. Then they got to go back for another 1 o'clock game next Sunday. It's tough. Can Seattle do it? Yes, but I'm in no way saying that they're going to. That I'm not thinking automatically they're going to. It's going to be a battle, and they better be ready for four quarters.
If Big Ben isn't in the equation, does Pittsburgh take another step forward?
Honestly, to me, it's not about Ben as much as it is about Antonio Brown. I mean, he had, 16 catches for 189 yards in that win in Pittsburgh in the regular season?
Yeah.
So, you know, if Antonio Brown can't go, I think that's I know this sounds crazy. I think that's almost more of a death knell for the Steelers than it is for Ben. And I think the secondary of the Broncos, quite frankly, is very excited to get another opportunity at the Steelers. He was the only quarterback that threw 300 yards against them. They had a big lead in the second half and they blew it. I think that the signs all seem to send a very positive signal for Denver right now. We could very easily be looking at another Brady Manning showdown in the AFC title game.
And that's where we wrap up. It's almost like we send you over a script or something and you're playing along. You must do this for a living too. Does Peyton Manning have one more battle left in him? Has he got one more run left in him? Or will we see Brock by halftime?
You know, the Broncos have been saying all the last couple of weeks that this is the healthiest Peyton has been since the start of the season. And I can tell you that plantar fascia actually happened in July, and he's been dealing with it ever since. Does it mean he's going to be great? No, but I think he's going to be better than the quarterback we saw that when he was injured had 9 touchdown passes and 17 interceptions. I have no idea how good he'll be. I have a feeling with that defense he'll be good enough this weekend.
Trey, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us an hour later than usual. We wanted to avoid the dinner parties that you throw every Wednesday, so hopefully we just interrupted dinner this evening.
There you go, my friend, and it's like 20 days, so I'll see you guys in San Francisco. Really looking forward to it.
Looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Trey Wingo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.